Yes, so as always, aloha mai kakou. Welcome to our July meeting of our Hawaiian and Barrel Council. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And of course, being on Zoom affords people from other islands to be able to attend without having to actually travel here, yeah, and put up with the expenses and everything else as well. So again, mahalo nui loa, everybody. Thank you for being here. Of course, our preference here in Hawaii Island is that we alo i alo, that we can see your face. That is our preference here. I know that Zoom affords the opportunity to multitask and do other things as well, but I do love that saying of alo i alo, face to face, so we can see who you are, see that, see those wonderful faces, and then we can engage in the proper cultural manner. Okay, so mahalo nui loa for those who be here. Now, of course, I know some of you may have technical difficulties, maybe another whole issue, but of course, if you can, you can see your smiling faces, please do. Thank you very much. Okay, so before we begin, we'll ask for guidance from the ancestors in helping us to be able to engage with each other in the manner of aloha, and to be pono on what we're doing, and then to ground ourselves to make sure that we make the right decisions for the Ivi and, of course, the descendants as well. Yeah? Okay? So we're going to begin. Nā o mā kua mai ka lā hiki a ka lā kau, mai ka hō kui a ka hala vai. Nā o mā kua i a ka hina kua i a ka hina alo, i a ka kau i ka lani. O ki hā i ka lani, o e i ka lani, nunulu i ka lani, ka holo i ka lani. Eia nā pulupula o ko nā lahui o Hawaii nei. E mālama o ko i a māko. E ulu i ka lani, e ulu i ka honua, e ulu i ka pai aino o Hawaii. E hō mai ka ike, e hō mai ka ikaika, e hō mai ka akamai. E ho mai ka mau popo pono, e ho mai ka ike pāpā lua, e ho mai ka mana, a mama uanoa. And again, aloha mai kākou, everybody. So we do our roll call right now. I want to start off. I'm Nelei Kākalau, and I am representing the proud and majestic district of Hamakua. Aloha, aloha.
Aloha.
Who would like to go next, please?
Hello. Maumen Kaimuloa, representing the Kona.
Kalena Blakemore, representing Puna as the large landowner. I just found out last month. Yeah. Anyway, aloha kakahiaka.
Clifford Kopono, Hilo.
Else? Any other Borough Council members?
Aloha, La Crivello, landowner, developer.
Aloha, Scott. Oh, you had, Randy, that's Waiola, that's you, Randy, sorry. Waiola. Okay. Those who work work for State Historic Preservation Division.
Kia, Kelpito Burial Site Specialist. Chris will be hopping in shortly.
And all other guests, if you'd like to introduce yourselves as well and tell us why you're here, we'd appreciate that very much also. Thank you. Mahalo.
Aloha, Lokelani Bandwidth ASM Affiliates for agenda item 4.
Aloha, Lokelani. Aloha.
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 Can you see me? I can't see myself.
Well, okay, we can't see yourself. We can't see you either. Not just joking. No.
This is my Kukui.
No, we cannot see you.
Oh, I'm okay. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, there I am.
There you are. Oh, that was a nice fade in, you know. Yay. I like that. That was really nice.
Aloha. Okay. Aloha. My name is Rainette Fukui. I am representing myself and my sister Diane McHugh, who could not join us because she is flying in from Utah to Hawaii. She's going to spend a couple of months in North Kohala, but we're on Agenda A and for the Kapa'ona family in North Kohala.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui for introducing yourself. Thank you very much. Pleasure to have you here. Mahalo.
Sorry about the video.
No problem. No problem. Anybody else? Oh.
Aloha. My My name's Angela Neller. I'm a Native Hawaiian living in Washington State. I do repatriation work for a Native American tribe here. Just interested in the issues and listening in. But I also wanted to bring attention to the Hawaii Island Burial Council recent call for new draft regulations to the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. And they're doing consultation meetings with tribes and Native Hawaiian organizations. So if anyone is interested in reviewing those and making comment, I'll put the information in the chat.
Mahalo, Angela. Thank you. Please do so. That'd be very informative. We'd appreciate that. And thank you for joining us from Washington. Mahalo nui. Mahalo for that. Mahalo. Awesome. Again, that's the beauty of Zoom, yeah? Thank you very much. Okay, Uncle, go ahead.
Keith Kato, Hawaii Island Community Development Corp. We're here for the burial treatment plan for Kohana Iki.
Mahalo nui, Anakala. Jeremy?
Aloha, Jeremy McCumber. I'm also with Hawaii Island Community Development Corp. for the burial treatment plan for Kohana Iki.
Mahalo nui. And Cindy?
Morning, Chair and members. Cindy Young with the Department of the Attorney General.
Oh, aloha, Cindy. Thank you for being here. Mahalo nui loa. Appreciate that. Mahalo.
Yeah, I also had technical problems, but Scott Mahoney from Kau.
Right on, Scott. Mahalo nui. Thank you very much. Well, mahalo nui loa again, everybody, for being here. Truly appreciate it. And let's get rolling with our business then. Okay, so first item of business is approval of minutes for May 20th, 2021. And all of you should have received that in your packet last month, yeah?
If we all read it, I would like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from May
2021. Well, a motion's been made. Is there a second?
A second. Okay. Scott.
A motion been made by Kalena and seconded by Scott that we accept the minutes of our Hawaiian Burial Council for May 20th, 2021. Any discussion? Anybody? Okay, if none, all those in favor stipulate by saying aye or raising your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, aole, and leave your hand down. Okay, so the minutes have been passed, yeah, and approved as today in our meeting. Thank you very much. Right, when it was approved. Okay, that's done. Okay, and now we'll go into our first business agenda item. And this is the descendancy recognition application for Renette Fukui to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Keolaunalani, Kaiawe, Kekua, Kapawana, Kalamai, Aloke, Malaya, Kaiowa, Kalaivaya, Kapawana. William Rocha, Edward Kanana Kapaona, Edward Hugh Kapaona, and Olympia Tampos, interred at the Kapaona Estate located at Honomaka'u, Ahupua'a, North Kohala District, Island Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 5-5-002:024. Information, discussion, determination. Discussion and determination whether to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to the identified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. Okay, so this is again a lineal descendancy claim. Yeah. This, of course, is a letter that we, an update, I guess, that was in our packet we just got this week. So I'm going to be reading that one instead of the one we received in June. And again, this is from to the Hawaiian and Borough Council members from Hinano Rodriguez, History and Cultural Branch Chief. Subject: lineal descendancy recognition application of Renette P. Fukui to skeletal remains located at Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 5-5-002:024. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal descendant claim to the human skeletal remains located at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, the applicant has submitted information genealogically connecting themselves to family members who are interred at the above location. Those family members are listed below as Keolaunalani, Kaiawe, Kekua, Kapaona, Malaya, Kaiowa, Kalaivaya, Kapaona, William Rocha, Olympia, Campos, Edward Kanana Kapaona, Edward Hugh Kapaona. Therefore, the State Historic Preservation Division recommends that HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a lineal descendant. to go skeletal remains located Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kuala District, Island, Hawaii. TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 5-5-002:024. And of course, this person is Renette P. Fukui. Okay, and of course, she's with us today. She's with us today. Aloha. So again, this has been, according to Hinano, she's fulfilled the requirements to be recognized as a Linuti Center. Okay. Council members? Yes, Clifford.
I have a question. Last month's meeting that was canceled, there was a petitioner by the name of Rose Hill who made the same argument, but Shipti disapproved, saying they didn't recognize the Hanai condition as being adopted in as lineal. Is that on the agenda today? Because I don't have the...
Yes, it is, Brad. It's agenda item C.
Is it the same? Is this the same case we're talking about?
Not. It's not the same case. It's different.
Okay. All right.
But that's item C. We will be talking about it today. Mahalo for bringing that up. Thank you. Okay. Anybody, any questions, comments, anything? Renette? Oh, sorry. Kalena, go ahead.
Just wondered if Renette wanted to just introduce herself and say, you know, why she's wanting to have this lineal recognition and, you know, honor her family.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Renette Fukui. My maiden name is Rez, but I come from the Kapu'ona lineage. And this property, belonged to my great-great-grandfather. And I used to go there with my mom and take care of the grave. But what happened was the last person to live on the property did not take care of it. And so my sister and I, who's on the agenda as in B, is taking on the responsibility of restoring the gravesite area and taking care of the property. There is a home on the property that my great-grandfather lived in, and my grandmother and my mom lived there at some time. You know, my mom is still alive. So we've just taken on this responsibility that we need to take care of this land and take care of the remains that are there. You know, so we've cleared part of the property and, trying to take care, especially of the gravesite right now. So, you know, because you know how the foliage can take over, so... So that's kind of why I'm here.
Mahalo. Mahalo nui, Renette, for sharing your Ike Manaa with us. Yeah. As far as your burial site, you guys have clear access, no problems?
Yes.
I mean, as far as shrubbery, but as far as human beings keeping you out from access.
Yes. We've cleared the road up to the house and around to the grave site. So we're able to maintain it. So that's Mahalo. Where we're at right now. Yeah.
Mahalo nui. Anybody else? Any questions? Renette, anybody?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was wondering if your family is still in possession of the land. You're still the owners?
It's undivided land. It's considered undivided land, you know. So, and Shalom or Surety, I guess, is now has part of the land. So it can't be sold because there's too many heirs in the property. So, we're just going to take care of it. But it's under the couple on the estate, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Scott. Good question. Anybody else? Uncle Norman?
Yes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. If you folks still own the land, what is the importance of getting a lineal descendancy recognition if you folks still own the land? Anybody bothering you guys? That's the reason why you guys need to. As far as I'm concerned, you guys own the land. You know,
we would like to have surety. We're going to request that, you know, they sign over their portion to our the Kapu'ona estate. And we're working with OHA. We'd like to be able to apply for some grants to maintain the property, you know, because it's very expensive, you know, and so, you know, that's kind of where we're at. And we're also looking for, there's almost 12 acres right now up there. And we're also looking for just part of the land to maybe, my sister and I were talking about seeing if we could, the school could use it to agriculture. So we didn't want anybody to question our lineage to this land. So we figured if we went through the process and got an official, you know, recognition that we are the lineal descendancies of this the couple and the family, then we wouldn't have any problems going forward.
Isn't that usually people go quiet title? They go get quiet title to their property, and then, you know, saying that they are the owners, their ancestors, you know, was the owners of all that?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry.
Maybe the AG can answer us.
Cindy, you heard the question.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat the question?
Norman, please.
I was asking, like, it seems like if the family got a quiet title, it'll show, like, she's requesting, you know, they, you know, they own it and they want to prove it. The quiet title does the same thing, you know what I mean? And I, you know, I want to ask you, is that true? Can you explain a little bit more?
Well, so what this request is for recognition as a lineal descendant to certain Ili Kupuna. A quiet title would be a land ownership or land interest type of matter. So there are two separate things, and they do two different, not really related things.
Okay, Norman, did that help any?
Not really, but yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe it does.
Well, okay, so let me try to explain it this way, right? So I guess putting it another way, quiet title relates to ownership is really a matter of who owns the land, right? Quieting title to the land. Recognition as a lineal descendant to remains is not a land ownership or land interest issue. It's a recognition that, among other things, relates to what say you get in or in the treatment of those remains, preserve in place or relocate, those types of matters. Buffers, access, and so on.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Hello, AG Young, thank you very much. Scott?
Yeah, I have one more question. Are you asking Lino for one of these or all these Rosha temples? Are those all related or all one family? Different names?
All of those that are listed are related to the couple and the family and to me. They all are, yeah. I've provided the list to Kea.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Thank you.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo. Anybody else? Any questions?
Just one.
La.
So just to clarify, it's pretty straightforward. These names you've listed, these five individuals are all buried and have, whether there's headstones or not, they are buried on this property. And that's basically been clarified by Kea, right? So it's all pretty straightforward.
Yes. They all have headstones. When my mother was well, she put new headstones because the old ones were falling apart. So when we went and cleared that area about a couple months ago, you know, they're there, you know, where just have to make sure it stays clean and taken care of. So, but yep, they're all marked.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lau. Okay, any other questions, folks? If not, can we have a recommendation? Kalena?
I'd like to recommend that we approve of Raynette Fukui's recognition as a lineal descendant to these graves, business A.
Mahalo Nui, is there a second?
A second.
Yes.
So,
sorry.
Made by Clint and seconded by Viola, that we recognize the lineal descendancy claim of Raynette P. Fukui at this time. To the burials located in the Honomaku Makau Aupua North Kuala District, Island Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, closed parentheses 5-5-002:024. Any further discussion? Anybody? Okay, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye or hapai kolima. Aye. All those opposed, aole hapai kolima. Okay, the motions are carried. Congratulations, Raynette. You're recognized as a legal descendant to these barrels.
Thank you. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui. Can you please stay on while we connect? We're going to be talking about your sister next, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. But she's not with us today. Is that correct?
No, she's not. She's on an airplane coming from Utah to Hawaii. So.
Okay. So remember that. Mahalo, just for confirmation. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, just move. That's good. Johanna, so we're in agenda item B right now. And it also looks like Uncle Desmond may have joined us. Mahalo nui, Uncle, for being here. Hope everything's okay. At least I can see you're in the picture there. So mahalo nui. Okay. So now we're in agenda item B, descendancy recognition application for Diane McHugh to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Keola Nalani, Kayave, Kekua, Kapaona, Loke, Malaya, Kaiowa, Kalawaia, Kapaona, William, Rocha, Edward Kanana, Kapaona, Edward Hugh Kapaona, and Olympia Tampos, interred at the Kapaona Estate, located at Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kuala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 5-5-002:024. Information, discussion, determination. Discussion and determination, we have to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to the identified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. Okay, so again, we received a similar document from the State Historic Preservation Division, specifically from Hinano Rodriguez, History and Cultural Branch Chief. And again, I am reading from the one we received this week, not the one that was in our June pack. Okay, so again, two Hawaii Island Borough Council members from Hinano Rodriguez, History and Cultural Branch Chief, subject lineal descendancy recognition application for Diane McHugh to skeletal remains located at Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kuala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 5-5-002:024. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal descendant claim to the human skeletal remains located at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, the applicant has submitted information genealogically connecting themselves to family members who are interred at the above location. Those family members are listed below as Keola o Nalani, Kayave, Kekoe, Kapaona, Malae, Kaiowa, Kalawaia, Kapaona, William Rocha, Olympia Tampos, Everett Kanana, Kapaona, Edward Hugh Kapaona. Therefore, the State Historic Preservation Division recommends that HIPC recognize the individual listed below as a lineal descendant to those skeletal remains located at Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kuala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 5-5-002:024. And again, this is recognizing her as a lineal descendant, and this is Diane McHugh. Of course, she's not with us today, council members. Raynette, would you like to say anything on behalf of your sister at this point in time?
Well, my sister has been a tremendous help to me, both of us. We've done this together. You know, we grew up visiting this gravesite with our mother. So for right now, it's important that we work together, you know, as a family, to maintain the property and to make sure that our Ohana is taken care of on that property. So I am grateful for her help, you know, so.
Marina, just a quick question for me. This is a biological sister.
Yes.
Okay, just confirming, making sure. Yes. Mahalo, mahalo nui. Anybody else, any other questions? Again, this is for lineal descendancy. Yes, Uncle Norman.
Normally, I like to see the person at our meetings or with the Zoom, you know, attend this Zoom meeting. And if they are not here, you know, I usually ask that they refile when they can make it and, you know, go to there instead of just passing. But I might concede because that's her sister. We had other things before that supposedly was a cousin, but wasn't related.
Mm.
And they tried to pass, you know, but and not showing up to the meeting, it almost passed. So I'm concerned, but I believe her that it's her sister, and I'm willing to change my view and approve her lineal descendants.
Can I make a comment?
Sure. Please. Thank you, Uncle Norman. Please.
We were both supposed to attend the meeting in June, and that was canceled. And she was going to be part of the meeting. And so she had already made her arrangements to fly to Hawaii in July. So she couldn't change her airline reservations, you know. So that's the only reason why she did not attend this meeting.
Yeah, we can make an exemption for that.
Yeah. So I am sorry. She would have loved to be here and meet all of you.
No apologies necessary. As you mentioned, there was a scheduled meeting last month, but unfortunately it was canceled. Yes, and we know, as you mentioned, she would have been able to attend if we'd had that regularly scheduled meeting. But I totally hear Uncle Norman. That's why I asked the question, is that your biological sister? Just to make sure. Because yes, 99% of the time we would like to have the person in front of us. Yeah. Oh, we can meet them. So we can just meet them. That's all.
So understandable.
But under the situation, it's understandable. It's happening. Any other further questions for, again, in this case, for Renette regarding Diane? Again, Renette, if I have butchered any of the names, please let me know. Yeah. did my best based on what I know.
No problem.
Anybody then?
Make a motion that we approve of this recognition of lineal descendancy for Diane McHugh.
A second.
Okay, so motion's been made by Kalena and seconded by Uncle Norman that we accept the lineal descendancy claim for the skeletal remains located at Honomaka'u, Aupua, North Kuala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, home parentheses 3, code parentheses 5-5-002:024 on behalf of Diane McHugh. Any further questions, folks? Anybody? Okay, then we'll call for the vote. All those in favor of this recommendation,
aye.
Say aye and hapai kalima. All those opposed, aole and nani hapai kalima. Okay, the motion is carried, and congratulations, Renette and your sister Diane. Please extend to our appreciation, first and foremost, to one into Malama the Ivi, especially at this level here of a lineal descendant. That's a very high claim. The highest claim that we have, yeah? And I appreciate you guys planning.
So much for your time. Thank you.
Anybody else, anything regarding these last two, this last item, B? Okay, then mahalo nui, Renette. Again, you're more than welcome to stay on board and enjoy the event.
I think I will sign off, but everyone have a great day. Thank you so much.
And aloha to your family, please.
Aloha.
Mahalo nui. Ahui ho. Kilohana, so we're going to go into the third and final descendancy recognition for today. Cliff, this is the one that I think you were interested in. Well, we're interested in all of them, but I can probably understand why on this one. So this is a descendancy recognition application for Leslie E. Rosehill to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Nakanaka Kalave and Kawai'o Kalehua, located at Kumukahi, Kula, Ahupua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 1-4-002, :092. Information, discussion, determination. Discussion, determination, ready to recognize the applicant as descendant to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Nakanaka Kalawe and Kawai o Kalehua, located at the above location. Again, I will read from the letter that we received from State Historic Preservation Division, specifically from Hinano Rodriguez History and Culture Branch Chief. And of course, this is there was no update in this packet that we received this month, but this is definitely from the one from last month's meeting. And here we go. To Hawaii Island Borough Council members from Hinano Rodriguez History and Culture Branch Chief, subject, descendancy recognition application of Leslie E. Rosehill, the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Nakanaka Kalawe and Kawai'o Kalehua, located in Kula'au Pua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 1-4-002:092. For the purpose of establishing substantiating a lineal descent claim, so again, this is another lineal descent claim, to the skeletal remains at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-335. Lineal descendant means, with respect to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, a claimant who has established to the satisfaction of the council direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. Based on the above definition, the applicant has not provided any kind of evidence that would indicate a direct or collateral genealogical connection to Nakanaka Kalawe and Kawai'o Kalehua. Instead, the applicant remains that as a Hanai daughter of a previously recognized lineal descendant, Johnson Keone Lehua Kalawe, she is thus a lineal descendant of Nakanaka Kalawe and Kawai'o Kalehua. At this point, State Historic Preservation Division does not recognize Hanai relationships with respect to a lineal descendancy claim. Therefore, State Historic Preservation Division recommends deferral of this lineal descendancy claim. Ke ohana, is Leslie here with us today at all? Leslie?
I don't see her on online. I don't think she joined the meeting today.
I don't either. And that was the young lady that was with Keone last time we saw them on, at a meeting, correct?
Yes.
Those of you who might remember that meeting. Okay, folks, discussion. This is Clifford, please.
So with this claimant making the claim that she's a lineal descendant based upon her Hanai relationship, which is cultural, I would simply submit to the council this, that under the doctrine of exhausting all local remedies, we would have to look at every opportunity to ensure that we're not putting ourselves in a liable position and that we're within the context of the law. So under probate law, children who are adopted are recognized the same as birth descendants. So the SHPD's definition or interpretation of what is considered to be lineal is subject to their administrative review. Within the HRS evaluation of ethnicity, the state also uses the opinion of anthropologists and archaeologists in determining the skeletal remains. So what we have here is we have kind of a bifurcation of definition as to who we are defaulting to. So the fact that the council members are primarily made up of Kanaka Maoli, quote, Native Hawaiians, we would embrace those tenets and those definitions are applicable to us as a Native people. Therein, this petitioner who's claiming to be Hanai under the Haole revised statute is considered the same under their probate law as a birthright descendant. So in that, I would argue that the state SHPD cannot make the recommendation that we not accept this person, given our culture, our cultural status, the laws that do reflect adopted children as on the same line as a natural born descendant, that would be the same, and that we would allow Rose Hill grant them the lineal descendant classification that they're petitioning for. Thank you.
Mahalo, Clifford. Very well put. I thank you for your EK always. Mahalo. Scott? Scott, we can't hear you, brother.
Yeah, sorry, man.
No problem, man.
I think since attendance was important for the last person that wasn't here, we should defer this for the next meeting because this person is not even here. Well, he's not even going into any kind of discussion.
I would agree with that, especially since it's not a descendant or a collateral of the last two as well. For sure, it's a whole other issue. Right. I would concur, especially against it's not here.
Because for such an important issue, she should be here.
Polole. I agree. There are at least two things I'd like to point out, at least in the letter we received from Hinano. Again, one was, again, at this point in time, Shifty's made this recommendation, which means things can change. And then again, it was deferred, which means just postponed or put off. Doesn't mean it's been canceled. Yeah. So I look at those as I'm looking in terms of the English verbiage of looking at this from another lens. Yeah. Which is, again, the lens that I appreciate that Clifford mentioned. But mahalo, Scott, very much. Thank you. La, please.
I think I agree with Yonoko Scott. The one thing I do kind of, I would like to see before the next meeting, if we are deferring it. Kea, the letter says that there was absolutely nothing provided. So I think that in order to prepare for the next meeting, I think a couple things that might be helpful from this applicant are some sort of written something from Johnson Kionelehua Kalave that's actually affirming this Hanai claim, but maybe even more than that, that he joins us for that meeting.
He being Hinano?
Johnson Kionelehua Kalave. Okay. If that's who she's saying she is a Hanai daughter of, I think that although having her attend the meeting and speak on her own behalf is important, if this Ohana has Hanai'd her, I think whomever, whether it's just him or even other family members, could join to support this claim and attend the meeting with us. Because if that is on a cultural level, being Hanai is 100% a part of our culture, but taking her word, but also hearing from the actual Ohana that claims to have Hanai'd her would be really helpful in kind of figuring out where this actually stands on a cultural level. Because we use the term a lot more loosely now than we did before. So I think that would be really helpful.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo
nui. That could be communicated to them prior to the next meeting.
Mahalo nui. Thank you, La. Clifford?
I would just like to add that when archaeologists and anthropologists do an investigation for a burial site to determine if they're valid or not, there is no significant evidence available immediately. And so that research is done by the state. So under the rule of due process, that these same specialists and professionals who do these investigations should be also applied to a petitioner who might ask, since they don't have that long reach, but the state has the responsibility to ensure that the law is carried out under the rule of justice and democratically. So to make a provision where the state can up their side of the argument with all their professionals and put the responsibility on the petitioner, to me, is prejudicial and denies them due process. So the same opportunity that the state has to discern whether or not a site is in fact true, those same opportunities should be made available to the citizen, the petitioner. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you again. Kalena?
Yeah, I understand this request. I'm sorry that she isn't here and Keone's not here to provide some affirmation and testimony. I have a lot of concerns, though, because I feel like we need more information and we have nothing. And I think the onus is on us as a burial council. If we take action and we were to approve this, but 20 years down the line, some of the Calave family say, why did you do that? We never affirmed her. We never provided you testimony. And she would have this power to make a determination on the burials there. I would feel really much better if Keone's family have write a descriptive testimony of how she came to be in their family, how their Hanai relationship is, how they also incorporate her into their family to care for the burials, and that her family write a letter that says, yes, the Kalave Ohana Hanai'd our daughter during this time. And so that we have a little background history and we don't sit here empty-handed trying to make a decision when we have nothing except a paper from Ship D saying we haven't received anything and we would defer this until we get more data. So I concur, she's not present in the meeting. I concur with Scott and Law. You have, you know, really good points about things that need to be covered before we can really address this item. Oh,
excellent recommendations, everybody. Kiel, you got all that down. I saw your writing. So mahalo nui for that. Yeah, very well said, especially also as an archaeologist as well. Thank you, Kalena. Okay. Okay, so got a recommendation then to defer this item until another date? Anybody?
I'm making a recommendation that we defer this motion to a further date.
Mahalo, Uncle. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion been made by Uncle Norman and seconded by Kalena that we defer business agenda item C, which is the descendancy recognition application of Leslie E. Rosehill, until another date. Any further discussion, folks? Anybody? And if not, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye, hapai kalima, aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole hapai kalima. Yeah, mahalo nui, folks. Thank you very much. That was deferred. Excuse me. Sorry. Maybe next time I ask if any volunteers would like to help to read the descendancy claims. maybe she asked AG. Before, every time we said council, we had to read all that. It makes sense, but I wonder if it's necessary. But anyway, it's making me have copies of it. But anyway, I was always told that it was good to always read it to get it on the tape or at least in print, yeah? Okay, so. Okay, then let's move on to agenda item C, D, folks. And again, this is, let me read it. The draft burial treatment plan for SIHP site number 50-10-28-3144, Konaiki, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, PMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:032. So the information discussion, we also have determination and recommendations, yeah? So we have discussion determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate the human skeletal remains at the above location. And the second thing we have to do for this agenda item D is recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Division whether to accept or not accept the above draft burial treatment plan. And all of you should have received should have the copy we had previously plus one that was in our packet last month. Lokelani, do we turn it over to you first?
Hi, Hikino. Aloha mai kako. Mahalo nui for this opportunity to come before you folks again. To present this draft burial treatment plan for the on behalf of the Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation for the burial site in Kohanaiki. So I am here from ASM and we have Jeremy McCumber and Keith Kato representing as the landowners to represent their project as well. So I think you guys all had, I did a few presentations, but I'll just do a quick sort of summary of to bring us back up to speed on where we're at here. Again, I am seeking determination this month. So to begin, the Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation, HICDC, is looking to construct up to 100 two and three bedroom affordable housing units within a roughly 10 acre parcel located on the Kohala side of Hinalani Street. In addition to the housing, they're also looking to construct a centrally located community center and some play areas and parking as well. Target population for this affordable housing is very low income households with children, with at least 5% of the units set aside for eligible families experiencing homelessness, at risk of becoming homeless, or families that are transitioning out of an emergency shelter or transitional housing program. And so that's sort of the scope of the project. The property, as far as the archaeological history associated with this property, this parcel, the 10-acre parcel, was part of a larger survey area that was surveyed in 2005 by Scientific Consultant Services. So the 10 acres was part of a bigger 300-acre area. That 10-acre part was set aside. During that 2005 earlier survey, they did document a few sites within the subject parcel, a total of five. And I'll show maps, and or in you guys' things, you have maps as well. When HICDC was going through this planning process for their project, they contracted ASM to go back out there and update the earlier survey work. And so from that updated survey that we did in 2020, we ended up identifying a total of seven sites within the 10-acre project area. And five of those sites were previously recorded. Now, one of the sites that we did document as part of our 2020 survey was a burial feature. And so I'll sort of get into that. On page one of the draft burial treatment plan, there's a table that lists the different sites that were documented on the property. So I'll kind of just sort of focus most on the burial stuff. The burial itself is located kind of right in the central portion of the property, but on the Kohanaiki side. The property itself straddles both Kaloko and Kohanaiki. So figure four on page five of your folks' documents shows the site plan for the proposed project. So there's, and the green area that you see, you'll see the burial site 31244, along with a few other sites, including a historic trail that runs up the center of the property, along with a sort of a bigger ceremonial type complex structure and feature in that Mauka part of the property. So I'll sort of jump down to this sort of a summary and description of the burial site. So we've identified this site as what we would call a Waihona Kupapa'u, or a burial vault, meaning that it is constructed up on its four sides, and then it sort of has a capstone on it. So there's a rectangular shaped hollow on the inside. Now, when we did the survey in 2020, that capstone was off. It was removed and it was kind of leaning up along on the side of the site itself. And so my team went in and actually did a little bit of surface excavation just to see what was in there, because they had seen the inscription on that capstone that read Kale. And when they did a little bit of surface scraping on the top, that's when they encountered human remains. So they terminated the work at that time and just documented what was found and left the site as they had encountered it. So it's about 1.7 meters long by 1 meter wide. Pretty low, kind of on the smaller side, but nonetheless a burial. They did find human remains in there when they did the test unit. So there's a sketch map on page 34 of your document. It gives you sort of a sense of what the site was like when we had found it in 2020. And there's some photos as well that sort of shows the condition of the site when the archaeologists had encountered it. So part of my task for this burial treatment plan was trying to identify lineal and cultural descendants. And I tried different avenues to do that. So one of them was sort of a review of historic documents, looking up the name Kale in genealogy databases and stuff. And the name shows up a lot. But it was really difficult to sort of pin down specifically to this, either Kaloko or Kohanaiki Ahupua'a. And I think it was just too broad of a search that it really wasn't super effective for me. Nonetheless, we got to try. we also put out public notices in the Honolulu Star Advertiser West Hawaii Today, and Kawaiola, and nobody responded to our public notice. So as part of this, because we were dealing with, you know, sites that were going to be preserved under a preservation plan, as well as the burial sites, we were doing, trying to do consultation with various kona, you know, families from that specific area. So we just went out and did some outreach efforts. We had the kukua of Nicole Louie and Uncle Curtis Tyler to help identify some of the older families that lived in the Kohanaiki homesteads and stuff. So that were still alive and still active in doing this kind of stuff. So table 8 on page 37 is a listing of all the individuals that we attempted to sort of reach out to see if they would be interested in participating in, you know, helping with developing preservation measures for the burial treatment plan, and also for the preservation plan that we were sort of working on simultaneously. So I just sort of listed, and as part of this sort of community outreach that I had done, we had did a site visit, and we had four individuals representing four different families show up, and that was Uncle Mahealani Pai, Uncle Paka Harp, Nicole Louie, and who was the last one? Debbie Chang. So those are the four individuals that showed up to the site visit. Other folks had expressed interest, but there was just conflicts in scheduling and stuff, so they weren't able to make it. But we did a site visit, and then a couple days later, we followed up with a sort of a Zoom community meeting discussion, and people could sort of, you know, think about what they saw and have time to sort of think through some of the recommended treatments that they wanted to see. So in that Zoom meeting, we had a few people participate, and again, table 8 sort of lists who showed up for those meetings, site visit, and for our Zoom meeting. And I just sort of documented everything that they had to share with regards to the burial site, the trail, and that other larger sort of ceremonial vahi. So then following that Zoom meeting, we just had, you know, several email correspondences back and forth about what was considered, you know, for the families reasonable and appropriate. But in the end, we did come up with some solid, you know, short-term and long-term preservation measures, which I have outlined at the back end of this report. Let's see. So short-term preservation of this site has to be, and even long-term, has to be considered in the context of the development itself and with respect to the nearby trail, which is a public access trail, and also the other sites that will be preserved as part of this development activity. And so short-term protection of site 31244 will be achieved through the placement of orange construction fencing, temporary fencing, along the preservation easement boundary. And that easement boundary is shown on page 40 of your document. It's that green area that's highlighted. So that whole green area, figure 21 on page 40, sort of shows what's going to be preserved as is. Yeah, the trail will stay at grade, the other sites will stay intact in addition to the burial site. So orange construction fencing would be placed around that perimeter. And then a secondary fence would be placed at around where the proposed rock wall would go. Oh, Uncle Norman, you have a question?
Yeah, about the orange fencing, can you define to me what is your guys' interpretation of short term?
So interim preservation measures are usually implemented prior to any construction and during the duration of construction activities.
Yeah, when the construction power, they're going to hammer.
Yeah, they pull out the, remove any of the temporary measures, and then all the permanent stuff gets put in place at that time.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Mahalo, Uncle. So we will have a short term will be the sort of the double fencing at the edge of the preservation area and then immediately around the site. That fencing has to be verified in writing to SHPD as well as sort of an added protection and checked by a qualified archaeologist to make sure it's actually in the right place. Avoidance instructions and all of those sort of specific details of where construction crews can work and where they can't work will also be spelled out on all of their plans as well. Maps, you know, their site plans and their construction plans all need to be noted with that sort of information as well. You know, no heavy equipment will be allowed even within the bigger easement, within the bigger preservation easement. Also, cultural briefings would be done with any of the construction crews to make sure they are aware of, you know, the sites that are in their vicinity, the sensitive nature of the sites, and just being cautious when working close to those areas. Now, that's sort of the short-term measures. The long-term measures are a little bit more detailed here, but the long-term preservation would be first through the formal establishment of the preservation easement, and that which is a bigger green shaded area. And that easement would be, the meets and bounds of that would be, you know, surveyed and, you know, recorded with the Bureau of Land Conveyances so that those sites are sort of documented and recorded in perpetuity with respect to the deed and title to the land. As far as the immediate measures around the site, it would be a 4-foot high rock wall as measured from the ground surface with a 3-foot wide opening on the side facing the trail. And so there are other sort of rock formations in and around that vicinity. So the, you know, the wall that would be constructed would have to sort of wiggle around some of these sites and not impact other sites to put up the wall. This was some of the stuff we sort of had to discuss in detail with the descendants, you know, to help sort of come up with the best possible solution for this. The descendants have also recommended to plant key, you know, on either side of the buffer opening, and that's to help manage access. And that they wanted to have a chain or some sort of blocking, something to block that 3-foot opening into the burial preserve. Yeah. So all that stuff is sort of detailed at the bottom of page 39. Figure 22 on page 41 shows a more close-up view of the preservation area and where the rock wall would be placed. The descendants had requested to have the wall. Initially, we discussed 20 feet from the edge of the site. And then in follow-up conversations, they wanted it at 30 feet from the site. But because of the way the grading plans are, we'll be able to achieve 30 feet on the Kohala side of the site, but only 20 feet on the Kau side of the site. So where I was able to expand it, I pushed it out as much as I could. And where I couldn't, I just, you know, I couldn't adjust the any of that grading stuff. So we have 20 feet on the sort of the Kau side of the site.
Sorry, real quick, I'm going to jump in on that one. So again, mahalo. So it's minimum 20, maximum 30.
Yes.
From the outside edge of the burial complex, yeah?
Yes.
And the reason why that other side could not be 30 was, is this too steep of a grade? Is that a...
Yeah, so the way the grading plans, if you look on figure 22 is probably the best one to look at on page 41.
Yeah, pull it in.
Yeah, so you see how that's, it's really steep right in that area. And the engineer, you know, was not able to work through sort of moving that grading further away from the site.
But at least it's 20. Okay, mahalo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem, Uncle. So signage-wise, I, you know, worked with the descendants to develop a verbiage that would go on the sign that would be placed right there on the wall and the where the opening is to put one sign there. And that would be sort of your cautionary informational sign, which is like you, the one you see on page 42. And then another sign would also be placed further makai from the site. If you look on figure 22, you'll see the parking lot with two X's on the stalls closest to the site. So that would be sort of the entrance into the preserve and we would put another sign there, just sort of more of an interpretive sign for just sort of warning, just letting people know you're in a sensitive area. There's important natural resources and cultural resources in this in the preserve area. So two areas for signage. The descendants had also requested for the site to be stabilized so that the site is not with the capstone leaning on the side and sort of left as is. They wanted it to be just ho'okahiko a little bit more, yeah, to make it look a little bit nicer, So they recommended site stabilization as part of the long-term management of this site. And the suggestion was to sort of just restack the stones and where necessary, put a little bit of cement on the inside to help secure that capstone to the four walls of the Baikwana Kupa Pa'u. That way someone can't come and lift that capstone up. Yeah, so, and the idea is to just put cement only on the inside and very minimal, just enough to secure and stabilize the site, but still keep the sort of original dry stack masonry appearance on the exterior of the site. Let's see. So the site would be, it would have to be modified just a little bit, but not anything major. The site wouldn't be reoriented or anything like that. It would just be the aesthetics of the site that would look a little bit different. As far as vegetation, hand clearing only within all of the preservation easement. There is several native species like alahe'e, some other dry land forests, and those species will be preserved as part of the hand clearing efforts, and any non-native sort of more invasives would be hand cleared out. Things like Christmas berry, guinea grass, and stuff like that. Also as part of that maintenance, the Ohanas did ask that they continue to work with HICDC as the landowner to be able to come back on site and either do sort of community volunteer cleanup days or things like that. And that would be part of what the families who would be living in this affordable housing unit could participate in. And also to keep the lineal and cultural descendants still active in the caretaking of these sites. An additional request was put in also for an educational orientation for those families that sign a new lease agreement with HICDC to become renters on the property. Part of their orientation, which is something they have to do as, to become, to be able to live in those units, would be to, for them to understand what resources are on their property and their role as well in helping to look after and care for these sites. So they'll do that. There'll be sort of a cultural component that would be added to their general orientation for living in those units. As far as access, those two marked stalls that have the X on it, those would be designated for visitors who wanted to come into the preserve, either to walk the trail or visit any of the other sites, including the burial. And so any of the any lineal or cultural descendants that would want to come forward and be recognized would be able to access the burial site to conduct cultural protocols or things that they needed to do there. The families or visitors would have to park in the designated stalls and walk about 90 feet or so up the trail. And then they would make sort of a right-hand turn and then walk a few feet to get to the actual burial preserve itself. And we're asking that any of the registered descendants that do come to visit the burial first check in at the their community center, their main office area. And the HICDC would also maintain a list of people who are registered descendants and who are not, to just help look after the site to make sure people who don't belong in the site aren't there. And people that do belong there, go there and not have any issues. And also for safety of area residents, because we'll have lots of keiki living in this affordable housing unit. As far as implementation, the you know, prior to any of this, that the meets and bounds of the preservation easement and known sites will be recorded with the Bureau of Conveyance to ensure sort of long-term transfer of these sites, and then that any of the short-term preservation measures will be implemented prior to any construction activities, and then all of the long-term preservation measures would be fully implemented prior to the opening of the affordable housing project. And no construction or agriculture or any other activities would be permitted within the bigger preservation. So I think that concludes all parts of this preservation plan. I'm happy to answer questions, and also for HICDC, if you guys have questions for them too.
Mahalo.
Yes, Scott.
Aloha. I had a question. Where's that community center that you said they check in on this map?
Let's see. So if you look on page 41, figure 22, and Jeremy, double check, confirm with me as well. Building 7 would be your folks' center. Yeah. So that L-shaped building would be that community center. So the burial would overlook that site or overlook that building.
Yeah. Also, I was wondering about. I see one of the things is a future road that's going to come on the bottom of that picture on page 41.
Yes.
That's not in the plan right now. The only access is right up the middle, right from the highway up.
Yes.
Straight through.
Yeah. So that's a future extension for Holo Holo Street, which is not part of this particular project. So their access would be directly from Hinalani Street.
You know, my concern was sort of like sealing that face off because of, well, only because I look at the housing area above Costco and stuff, and now they're all in the bushes. They all people fixing. I mean, I would think that would be a natural place, unless that thing is so steep nobody can go in there with cars and parked cars and fixed cars and homeless and stuff like that. Do you have any plan for addressing that part on that proposed road, or is it steep enough to be secured? That's my question, actually.
Well, where the proposed road is outside of the HSTDC's jurisdiction. I believe the county would have to step in for management of that stuff.
I just wonder about securing the thing in case there is a road that gets built by whoever builds it. But yeah. I don't know what it looks like because you don't have really a topographic map on this green section. It looks flat on this thing, sort of. So I was just wondering about that. If for future, you know, you're talking about long term, you know, if a highway does come through, or a road does come through on that side, I was just wondering if that thing is secured from people going into that green area.
Yeah. Keith?
Yeah. I can give a response to that. I think it's something, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to contend with until we have, you know, clear confirmation on the road alignment. We're basing our design off of what the current alignment is, but that's not necessarily finalized by the county. So at some point in the future, they could actually change the alignment. And then beyond that, there's the question of, you know, are they going to do the road in 5 years, 10 years? Will it ever happen? We're not really sure. So we planned as best as we could based on sort of what we know and where we're at right now. And I think if security to the site becomes an issue once the county clearer defines what their intent is, we would definitely have to install security measures because, like Loke mentioned, you know, we're going to have upwards of 200 keiki here, and we can't have people that we can't identify roaming, you know, on and off of the site. So,
all right, thank you very much. That's good.
I think just going off of that, that side, and probably Uncle Scott's looking at the same thing. The preservation easement goes up to that, you know, potential road. So maybe just keeping in mind that there, you might want to include something about additional signage being possible on that side. I think whether you put a wall up or a fence, that's That's one thing, but you know, there at the moment there's nothing back there, but if there was a road, you would want signage on that side of the road too. That's, you know, interpretive signage and really cautionary signage so that people understand that off of that roadside, there is something that's culturally significant.
That's pretty easy to do. We can do that.
Good suggestion, Law. Anything else, Law?
I actually just wanted to clarify, so today we're determination on preservation in place.
That is
one. As far as recommendations on the BTP, is that something that we're just deciding preservation in place today? And then will there be another opportunity? I know this is a draft, so I do have some questions, but I'm not sure if I would want to provide recommendations on something that they're not quite done with anyways. So I'm just curious about that.
I was hoping to get to a determination today, and I'm open to any other, you know, if they're sort of minor suggestions and if those recommendations that are shared today amongst the council members is agreed upon, I can include that stuff in the final, that, you know, but if it's substantial, it's sort of, that might be something else that would have to probably be discussed.
And then just kind of wondering if it is possible, you know, we did, someone had mentioned not having seen the site, you know, if it is possible to make time as a council to see the site, and if anyone has interest in that, I wanted to just propose that idea. It's not if everybody feels it's not necessary, but just proposing the idea if anyone else was interested in that.
Mahalo. Okay. Uncle Norman?
Yeah, I think this meeting went about before us about 2-3 times already. What more do we have to do in order to get this barrier treatment plan and approved? Do we need a final draft, or is it sufficient? Can we vote to approve it today? That's my question.
Well, I know when barrel treatment plans are submitted, there is a, based on the state process, a timeline that needs to be met. I do know that. And unfortunately, the meeting was canceled last month because of our inability to meet quorum. So that clock keeps ticking, yeah, as far as I know. Yes, Kalena, I just want to mention that for right now, what I'm thinking. Kalena, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to let Law know, I think it was before you came onto the council that Loki's come, she always comes to all the meetings like 3 times at least to make sure to help us sculpt the BTP that she ends up finally drafting. So you might be able to, like, on the side if you want.
No, I was definitely able to, I was at the meeting. I was just, someone had said they hadn't seen it, so I just threw it out there, but I don't feel that it's necessary if everyone else doesn't, but someone had mentioned they hadn't seen the property. So that was a suggestion that we could do, but I was at that meeting. And I think she's been very thorough, but I think I'm trying to understand if I do have, because the preservation in place, I mean, as far as making a determination on that, it seems like the no brainer to me, but other than that, you know, I just had a couple really quick questions, and I'm wondering if now is the time to address them or not.
Please.
Okay. Well, then I will. I guess the one thing I was kind of wondering about, you know, for access, it says it provides access just to recognized descendants. I'm just wondering if, you know, is there still going to be some form of access provided to other cultural practitioners? And that was something, you know, is it just recognized descendants to the actual burial site, and then cultural practitioners still have access to the greater preserve, you know, just kind of touching on that?
I'll answer that question right now. So that whole green area that's highlighted, that's part of a public access trail. And so that would be open to the general public. as far as entering into the burial preserve, which is sort of, I'm defining that as within that stone wall area, would be limited to lineal and cultural descendants only. Yeah. So people can come up to the site because you're there. It's right next to the trail itself. So it does lend to the general public, cultural practitioners, anybody. But in terms of inside the preserve itself for cleaning and any of that sort of stuff, other cultural practices would be reserved for just recognized descendants.
Yeah. Mahalo. Lai, anything else?
The only other one is under vegetation maintenance, where it talks about removal of the non-natives, like Christmas berry and stuff. Some of those, you know, I don't know how heavily rooted they are. Just wondering if it doesn't say anything about monitoring while doing that, but I guess that's something that I think should be mentioned under vegetation maintenance. Because if there are, you know, non-native and invasive species inside the burial area, I guess that's a concern I would have, is if there's going to be significant ground disturbance, that there's a monitor present. That was the only other thing.
Oh, yeah. So part of the general, you know, plan and the preservation for the burial site and the other trails and stuff would have they'd have a monitor on site during all sort of ground disturbance activities. So that will be a part of it. As far as vegetation, there's none within where the burial feature itself. The only thing that is sort of surrounds it is guinea grass at this time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, the bigger stuff is a little ways away from the actual burial itself.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, that was my other kind of Nino. Sorry. Just one. for the quarrying, when, you know, they said that they'd like the stones to be on site in the area. So I guess, you know, whereabouts and just the sensitivity to where that those are being, is that going to be something that, you know, you have some sort of efforts to just kind of avoid too much you know, if there's a burial site close by, quarrying in an area that's kind of off and out of the way, and making sure that stones that are collected for that site are done. So again, I know you said you have a monitor, but just wondering about that.
Yeah. As far as this, because for this project to happen, because it's on a sloped, you know, area coming down Hinalani, wherever you see the buildings on the plan, that all has to be graded out. So there's going to be Mass X associated with this project. And everything that you see in the green will be kept at grade, meaning that will not, the topography in that area will stay the same, except for the breach where the driveway has to go, the parking area. But that's, even that is sort of reduced down to a one lane versus a two lane, you know, breached area. So as far as the stones, they will be collected on site during the Mass X work that will need to take place for this project to happen. Yeah. Thanks, Law.
Thank you.
Very good questions, Law, and good answers. Thank you. I'm looking for your answers. Mahalo Nui. Clifford?
Alo Kilani, mahalo pia for your exhaustive preservation plan. Very impressive. The question that I have is, because so many things are being presented here, from affordable housing, which, you know, our economy is in a constant state of flux. You know, what does that mean? $200,000 a year and you qualify for affordable housing? Who knows? Along with the specificity in meeting the needs of each of the sites over this large property. This could have been something that I asked before, whether or not a bond provision has been provided for any appellate process of someone, some lineal or cultural descendant wanting to appeal this decision, would have the necessary funds and resources to take their argument to court and not be overruled by the immensity of government and large financial developers. I know we've had this conversation before about bond provision, and I don't know if specific to this project or not, but that basically is my question. If someone wants to appeal based upon what the offer is being made and those conditions aren't satisfied, are they going to have the funds to be able to take on this huge developer along with its association with government agencies?
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure they wanted to. I guess they could, but I'm not sure.
Basically, my question is founded on this. You're making an offer, part of a contract. If anything on this contract, if we're led to believe, is not true, it's fraud. So if someone appeals the condition based upon what they were led to believe, and it's not true, that the developer or those who were involved would set a bond provision on the side that reaffirm and secure in the minds and the interest of others that this is in fact legitimate. And I'm not saying that it's not legitimate. I'm just saying another method that would ensure that the conversation is now backed with an asset that if it needs to go to court, there's funds to address this. Otherwise, it's, you know, doctrine of happily ever after. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, what happens if you don't do it? And as a council member, I feel a responsibility and liability to those Nakanaka who may be disadvantaged or may not be aware, as you are, of all these conditions and all the legalese. Are they just left out of the cold and pushed out just simply because they don't have access? I find that to be unconscionable. And so just given the US Constitution, our right to justice, and in this portion of what eventually becomes contractual, that offer be affirmed with the bond provision to ensure, you know, your intent is as you say.
Well, let me just sort of address the two questions. You know, first of all, the project is out of the 100 units or 99 affordable units, you know, 75 are going to have rental assistance. So this rents that the families end up paying is basically Section 8 rents. What we find, for example, in our senior housing projects is that 80% of the clients end up paying out of pocket $200 or less. These are very low income families. And so it's a big help to them. I don't think you're going to find any of the units renting at something that would be considered abnormal. In fact, it's actually considerably below market, particularly in Kona. As far as having funds to, for somebody who wants to challenge something, you know, I think that's something that maybe the government as a whole should look at. You know, I don't think it's appropriate to basically burden the project with funding something like that.
Mahalo, mahalo nui. Cliff?
I'd also like to add, just to clarify, because, our organization is a nonprofit. We're missioned with specifically targeting low-income families. And so we're by no means a large developer. Our shop is like seven people, and we've produced over 600 units with that staff level and capacity. So I don't want there to be an impression of us as a quote unquote developer that maybe gives a perception that's not accurate, because we're chartered with a specific mission. So our goal in the end is not to misrepresent or to, you know, reap huge profits. I mean, we're targeting the most vulnerable families. And for this particular project, it's a huge leap for us because have not so far been able to break into the Kona rental market for families. And we know that there's a high need for that because there's families that are like doubling, tripling up, or they're commuting, you know, from the east side of the island where they prefer not to live, but can only live because that's what they can afford. So I don't want there to be a misconception about what our organization is in terms of being a developer.
Cliff? Thank you, Jeremy. Mahalo.
We're here as a burial council. We're not an economic analysis council or anything else. And our responsibility is to the lineal and cultural descendants who made claim to the Ivy. And this is what we're talking about. And so all I'm saying is for all the promises that have been made relative to the Ivy and to the size and the scope of this project, if someone were to appeal the actions that would not be as they interpreted to be promised, that bond provision would allow for that to happen. So the responsibility is on you. We're going to vote yes or no on this. But my responsibility front up is to my constituents whom I represent. And if there's not a provision of safety for them, I can't vote in approval. No matter how impressive your document and your report is, which I see it as being impressive and it's thorough. The only thing I'm saying is that what I see from my position is that to ensure what you're saying to be true, that there be a bond provision that would hold everybody accountable. That's all.
Model again, Cliff. Thank you. Kalena?
I just wanted to say I really appreciate all the details that you put into this BTP and questions I would have in my head. Loke, you would answer them. I had concerns about the cap. The capstone, because it's really cool. And I thought, man, that would cause curiosity and someone to steal it. So I just appreciate all the nuances and attention that you guys are putting into this. I even more so appreciate that we have housing, affordable housing for our Kanaka to live in Kona, you know, right in the heart of it, where it's so expensive that only certain people can afford to live there. So mahalo to you, the Hawaii Island Company, that nonprofit that is putting forth this effort so we can have good housing for our people. And I understand what Clifford was saying, but I know that what we our purview as burial council members are very limited, and we don't have control over some of the laws and bonds and accountability that were being brought up. And it's been answered by our AG a few times that we don't have that. And if we want to pursue those, we will have to go to the ledge and make amendments to the administrative rules and the statutes. So I fully support this. I thank you for coming so many months in a row, and even for the property developers, thank you. I appreciate that you guys are here to answer questions and you show up to be here. So anyway, I support this BTP. I support preserving in place the EV and passing it today.
Mahalo, Kalena. Mahalo, Kalena. Uncle Norman?
Just like to ask Loke Lani, how much more work she has to do to bring us a final plan that we can vote on? That's my question.
Well, this draft that I have before you is what I'm hoping to be for it to become the final draft.
Today?
Hopefully today, Uncle.
Well, let's make a motion.
And Uncle, just make so a motion. Sorry, Uncle, just so you know, we always vote on draft burial treatment plan. Yeah, the draft become the finals, pretty much, yeah. But the only thing I want to mention, Loke Lani, is that we are going to put in there that extra sign with regards to that new road that will be coming out, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I like Jeremy's thing, if ever it gets done. But anyway, I too am impressed. And thank you for that educational component. As an educator myself, that would be something we should put into all developments, you know, that whoever buys it has to go through some kind of a educational process. So they're more sensitive to our worldview as well. Thank you very much for that. And any other questions, folks, before we take it to a vote? And Uncle Norman's ready to go to Loke, Jeremy, or Uncle Anakala. And again, I do appreciate your efforts to help to create housing for people, man. Food, clothing, and shelter, three basic needs that are desperately needed by everyone. So thank you for that. Mahalo nui. You'll be blessed for that. Mahalo. Any other questions, folks? Anybody? Okay, so we have two things, folks. The first one, again, is preservation in place. So to relocate the human skeletal remains is the first one we need. And the second would be a recommendation to accept or not accept the burial treatment plan, the draft burial treatment plan. Okay, so Uncle Norman, did you want to start?
I'll make a motion to approve the first and second item. Both. I make a motion to.
We want to do each one individually, Uncle, please.
Okay, let's
start with the burial.
Make a motion to. Approve item number one. What is that?
That's the preservation in place. You want a preservation in place?
Preservation in place.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so a motion been made by Uncle Norman and seconded by Kalena that we preserve in place the skeletal remains from they're located at site number 50-10-28-31244, Honaiki, Aupua, North Kona District, Island, Hawaii, TMK, home parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:032. Any discussion on preservation in place? Yeah, I don't see any. So all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye. And hapai kolima ke ololomai.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, so the ayes have it. So preservation in place for this EV. And the second one is, again, recommendation to accept or not accept the draft burial treatment plan at this time. That will be the second one.
I make a motion to accept the, was that burial treatment plan?
The draft burial treatment plan.
The draft, yeah.
Okay, look how you know. Is there a second? Second. Okay, so again, Uncle motion been made by Uncle Norman and seconded by Kalena to accept the draft burial treatment plan once again for site number 50-10-28-31244, Kona'iki, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, colon, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-3-009:032. Any discussion on that recommendation, council members? Okay, I don't see any. So if there are none, let's vote. All those in favor against, please stipulate by saying aye. Hapai kolima.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, aole.
Aole.
Okay, no, mahalo nui. Okay, and the ayes have it. So mahalo nui loa for that. So the burial treatment plan has been accepted and approved by the Hawaii Island Borough Council. Mahalo. Thank you so much, folks, for coming before us the last few months and sharing your ike manawa with us. E kala mai for last month having to cancel, but people get sick and we got to visit Ohana. We got things to do. Yeah, unfortunately. But I thank you very much for what you're doing. Please keep up the great work. And just have a great day.
Well, we just say thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Uncle. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui, everybody. So mahalo nui aloha. Thank you very much.
Mahalo nui. Awiho.
Awiho. Awiho. Lokelani, Jeremy, Anakawa. Awiho.
Awiho.
Be safe. Hey, Hannah, so we do have one more, the next agenda item, but if you don't mind, everybody okay for taking a short break? Everybody all right with that? Short break, water break, lua break?
Lua break.
Okay, mahalo nui. Okay, so we'll take a short break, folks. We're about, let's say 11:10. Not too long. We'll reconvene. Mahalo, Kia. Okay, everybody back, everybody with us. Looks like it. Scott disappeared. See a quorum though. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, we still got quorum.
Yeah, Uncle Scott sent me a message not too long ago saying that he had to leave at about 11:15.
Okay, but we still got quorum. We're still good. We're still good.
Yeah.
Okay, so hello everybody. So we'll continue with our meeting. We got a few more items before our meeting will be power for today. This next agenda item was not on our June agenda, but it is now on this agenda. And here we go. So it's item E. So selection of the Hawaii Island Borough Council member to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs Borough Sites Working Group. The Hawaii State Legislature, which is Senate Resolution 171 and House Resolution 113, has requested the Office of Hawaiian Affairs form a working group to examine the Borough Sites program under the Department of Land and Natural Resources State Historic Preservation Division and improvements to the Island Borough Councils. So basically, this is just a discussion and vote on the item above, on the above item. Okay. With regards to this item, if none of you are aware, I've been part of a group called HONI, Hui Ola Naivi, it's called. And basically, it's a group of... right now, it consists of the chairpersons of the various Hawaiian and Borough Councils, and also includes like Hale Aloha Yao, who was responsible for formulating the first drafts of the Borough Councils and how it should have been run. Also, Kai Markel sits on this council. Also, Alan Murakami, who used to be the head litigator for the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, sits on the council as well. Also, Malia Kurigawa sits on this council. So it's a very heavy kapua. A sprout sits on this council. So it's a heavy council. People have been very, very involved in borough issues since 90, for many, many years. Of course, coming to a head at the Honokahau issue on Maui, And of course, the reality is that since the barrel program was initiated for 30 years, as we already know, there's been a lot of discontent. Okay. Apparently, good thing about being in this thing, you learn a lot of historical things and review a lot of historical things, some that are very grateful for, and some that make me sad and bring back bad memories from the last 25 plus years in terms of the issues that we used to have before. Yeah. Okay. But the bottom line is apparently when I was involved with myself and my, what is now my wife, were involved with the issues that happened on Maui and did protest at the Capitol and all as well. And all of you by now should be aware, it's a test case of what you should not be doing. No offense to other large developers here, but anyway, over 800 sets of bones were unearthed. Yeah. Over 800 folks, you know, that's a major burial site anyway, and they wanted to keep going. So anyway, the bottom line is when it came time to initiate, where would these burial councils come under, what department, it was pretty much between OHA and state, DLNR, SHPD. The feeling was that OHA wasn't at that time ready to take on a kuleana like this. So therefore it fell under, by default, it fell into the hands of State Historic Preservation Division. And the feeling is amongst those of us that have been attending these meetings, Scott came to one. It is open, you know, to those who can make it. But it gave us a good overview of all the atrocities that have been happening on all the different islands. And basically the state's failure to malama the Iwi Kupuna. That's the bottom line. And also the state's, the State Historic Preservation Division's inability at this point in time to, as we see it, truly support the borough councils, period. The borough councils, yeah? For various reasons. So things like you brought up, Clifford, would be things that would be excellent for this working group to hear. So basically what it is that this working group has been formulated to hear testimony, to receive testimony, and come up with resolutions that we can suppose, or that can be given to the legislature as early as next year, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Again, there are two resolutions that were established, one in the Senate, one in the House. I will say this, that the senator, the elected officials that did help support this initiative initially, I was surprised because they did not support Hawaiian initiatives in the past. So I was surprised. So again, there's always that, those of us, everybody in politics knows there's always underlying levels. Yeah. What is the rationale for this happening? Yeah. So one, just to tell you up front again, what's happening. One idea is maybe having it moved over and put under OHA. Yeah, that is an idea. Not where we want to go. But again, OHA initially signed off on what was happening on Maui. Although they have grown over the years, I will say that, and things have changed. We know themselves that they're having growing pains themselves. I understand they just went through a major restructuring, or at least a proposed restructuring, in which their whole compliance division was going to be eliminated. Wouldn't that be the people that would be making sure that what is happening is being taken care of? Yeah. So there are concerns where I'm getting at. Is there an agency out there that can really truthfully take care of our Iwi Kupuna? That's why I'm advocate for sovereignty. But anyway, because little punchline there, sorry. But again, this is what this whole working group is about, folks, is after 30 years of mismanagement, something's got to be done, yeah? It's almost like you're letting the bank robber watch the bank, you know? Or the pedophile watch the nursery, no offense. But, you know, I'm just putting out to make it graphic so it gets that visual, yeah? And again, for many of us that have been on that call, like Hina Moana, Kaku was there, of course. Hina's been involved in many issues. Dane Maxwell, whose grandfather's Uncle Charlie Maxwell from Maui, has been on these calls as well. As far as myself, like I said, since 1996, there's been a member of this Kahakalau family sitting on this Hawaii Island Borough Council. So that's 25 years right there. So we just have a lot of history of what has not worked, what has not worked. I will say this, that to me, it has gotten better. But I can only speak for our island because on certain islands it's gotten worse. Oahu as an example, yeah? I personally would not want to sit on the Oahu Island Borough Council. there's just too much ha-ka-ka, you know, all over the place there. Okay? So it's basically to see what has happened, how it can be fixed. I'm hopeful, you know, it can be fixed. And who should be helping to facilitate this process, yeah? And that's what this whole working group is about, just to give you in a nutshell. Again, we're meeting regularly every Monday, and the meetings would go on start at 7, and sometimes we went into like 11 or 12 at night. So it's quite in depth. and the amount of information that Kai was bringing out of his archives was unbelievable. There's been other, the State Historic Preservation Division has been audited before, and there was, the audit report came out saying that there are major discrepancies that need to be fixed. Nothing has ever been done. And I think that audit was done in the either 2009, 2011, I think. It's been 10 years again. Nothing's been done. Or what was said was, we'll take care of it. Again, we're going to let the bank robber watch the bank. But anyway, it brings up a lot of questions. So again, it's better to again see how this very important cultural Kuleana initiative can be better reinforced, I guess the best way to put it, and support us as borough council members to help make those decisions. Yeah, make decisions. So stuff like Clifford brought up today, to me that's valid. But of course, we've already heard the AG tell us before, we can't do that. Yeah, we've heard that before. So, and why not? The whole thing of Hanai, it's for us to decide who's Hanai and who isn't. Yeah, not for some process to decide. Yeah, it's our narrative, our history. We decide how this Hanai, and does it need to be altered because of the historic trauma we went through, losing all our family members, losing our families that we could identify with? Yeah, because our culture has been revamped in certain ways. I mean, we still meet at Pugala every August, but we're not offering any human sacrifices yet. But anyway, we're meeting there every August, except for last August, of course. We're meeting, we're carrying on our ceremonies, but we revamped it to work for where we're at in the 21st century. Like I always tell my students, as long as you can show me cultural consistency and integrity, I'll support your 21st version initiative of what you're looking at. But I don't see the integrity and consistency, I cannot support it. I cannot support that. Yeah, and we have seen times in our history where our culture has changed. When Powell came, he revamped the whole political system. The whole religious system got revamped, yeah? Okay, when the missionaries came, they got revamped, yeah? So things get revamped, yeah? But a sign of a vivacious culture is one that can revamp in a tonal fashion and move forward into the future, okay? Of course, I like minimal revamptations if possible, hardcore traditions in that respect, but I also have to be a realist that that I am living in this 21st century, yeah? As for now, as a occupied nation, Hawaii, and that's just where I'm at with that, folks. This is where I'm at with that. So I know initially they had looked at the chairpersons sitting on the council, but we felt that there might be other people that are better qualified that could sit on the council, and we just felt that it should be open for the councils to decide who will sit again. Home rule, yeah, in a case where, as Hawaiian and Borough Council, we decide the council who will sit on that, represent our council on this working group, not some other agency or whatever else. That was the idea, okay? I will say that the Senate resolution was a lot stronger than the House. The House resolution was really watered down. The Senate resolution was pretty much intact with the, I think we had 11 bullet points that was initiated in regards to get this resolution passed, okay? So we mahalo the senators. Senator Lorraine Inouye was a big promoter of from the Senate side. And then our Hamakua representative was the person to help lead the charge on the House side. Representative Mark Nakamura. Mark Nakashima. Okay, just so you know. So both, again, representatives, both legislators that helped to support this resolution came from Moku Keawe. And of course, many of the senators and representatives from the different islands were in support as well. Okay, so the idea was to merge these two resolutions together to make something more, a little more workable, and then of course have these working groups. Any questions? Anybody? Yes, Kalena.
I don't have any questions, but I think it's a good idea and it's a start for us to take all of this institutional knowledge, especially you and your family that have been here for 25 years, and try to start breaking open that ceiling so we can modify what's going on today to really meet our needs as a council and the people. So I don't know, I think it's a good idea to have a working group with people like you who are able to bring to the table all the different things that need to be fixed. So I didn't have a question. I just wanted to say, I think it's a good idea.
Mahalo. One suggestions made by other members of this HONI draft group that we just came together with a few months ago was to hopefully have those with a lot of experience have the ability to be able to testify. Yeah, and that was one of those one ideas, because if you have a lot of years behind you in terms of what you've seen over the years, for example, I'll digress a little bit to site visits. I'm a strong proponent of site visits. I will say how, again, I'm going to bring a little historical context. In historically, before we'd have our meetings, actually, if there's a site visit like the one we have at Konaiki today, we'd actually go to a site visit first, and then we'd have our meetings after. Yeah. But the meetings would go, I won't lie, to like 5 or 8 o'clock at night. I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah. But again, as I said, when I signed on to be a chairperson, I signed on hook, line, and sinker. Yeah. Whatever day, whatever time, however long as it takes, unless something important has happened. Yeah. Medical, that kind of stuff, health reasons, those kind of things. And then, of course, but it doesn't preclude or exclude anybody from, especially from the district, to going and seeing these places as well. And that's what we started depending on, because a lot of people couldn't start making the site visits. They could make the meetings, but not site visits. But that would at least give us a chance to have somebody that went there, especially from that district, who's representing that district, and that could be our eyes and our ears that could report back to us at the next meeting. Yeah. Okay. So again, things like that. Inadvertence have been a sword in my back for many years. I just can't comprehend that word. You know, I know what it is. I'm an educated person, but it's frustrating, especially when you're doing EV. At one time they weren't inadvertent, and we cannot help if the people that were able to tell us where they're at are no longer with us, yeah, or have access to this ability anymore. There's many reasons why that's not possible nowadays. Okay, so again, we have this opportunity to hopefully make a change, so that we're not seeing the same process 30 years for the next 30 years, if even the next 2 or 3 years. Is the goal, yeah? Okay. And again, I just wanted to open up, because if there's anybody else who's interested in sitting on a council on this working group, by all means, again, I feel it should be our council's decision, not just a few people saying, okay, you. Okay.
We only get one person?
Yeah, we only get one person. There's a list of all the, I wish I had all that information with me, a list of where members of the working group will come from, like somebody representing DLNR, somebody representing SHPD, people like that, and all. So that the idea was to try to have an equitable voice across the board, all those departments or that are involved sitting at the table and hearing what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. For me, I would love to be able to hear what kind of information's being developed in the meetings, and then someone could provide for us bullet points that we can put together for testimony. If you don't serve on that committee, at least you guys can be feeding us what the outcome is that you guys are finding out in your big think tank, and then use us as the outsiders who can go ahead and, provide testimony. Because I don't really want to be on a working group, but I would totally be backing on testimony and helping to articulate all the things that we keep going over and over again. So, I mean, maybe there's other people like that in our group too, but I trust for you to just continue as the most experienced person for us in our council, and you don't mind, and you do it, and you know all the players that are in that same group too. But I would like to help support our group, that HONI group.
Mahalo nui. Waiola, I know you had your hand up, and then La.
Yeah. I think you're doing a good job, and I think you should continue unless we people want to change. But I really like what Kalena is saying. We should have some kind of a report. It doesn't have to be a long one, but something short so we know what's happening and what we can think about and ways to contribute to that.
Mahalo, Waiola, and believe me, that is forthcoming. We just wanted to make sure the resolutions got passed first, yeah? Once it got passed, we're very happy about that. And that is going to be forthcoming, because yes, we would love anybody, not only council members, but anybody who's been affected by the borough program, anybody to initiate videos. I know there's been videos that were, I made a few myself that were circulating a couple months ago on Facebook and other places. I don't do those things, folks, so sorry. I'm just going to rely on what my daughter's telling me. But we know they're out there. But I know the Wahoo Borough Council had a media conference at Polkaina a couple of times on Oahu, of course. By the second time, Hina was not reappointed to her seat on the Oahu Borough Council. So again, that question, you know, with all other things going on, it begs the question, was that a vendetta? Because she was very outspoken about what was going on there. And then, you know, at the same time, you hear a lot of hearsay, things going on, and I'm kind of, okay, I don't know about that, but, you know, but what about the data that support that kind of stuff? So anyway, the goal would be to keep you informed, share the documents with you that's been shared, and then so that you can make better, so we can all make better testimonies ourselves, yeah? Lau, you had a question or comment or anything?
I know that you said it was, you had mentioned it's kind of public. I obviously am very, very new and very, very young. I have, you know, I wanted to know if it would be okay for me to just shadow you, just to go, you know, whether it's on Zoom or not, attend and listen and just be kind of listen and watch and learn, just because it's something that I'm passionate about, but I have a lot that I need to learn. So I'd love to be able to go or join you on those meetings if it's
possible. Mahalo, right? Right now that we presume that the meetings will be Zoom, and again, it should be public, so everybody has access to it. That's one thing, again, we're very concerned about, that is very transparent, that people be able to see what's going on through these processes. So mahalo for that. And thank you for being the young person on the council, Law. That's been a big push. We're looking at all the councils. We need to get some of our younger blood in here. You know, I as an OG, I appreciate being here. It's a pleasure sitting with honorable men and Kanaka as yourselves, no doubt about that. But it's also nice to see this nice young face there as well, Law. So thank you for that. Thank you for taking on this kuleana. Mahalo nui. Your ancestors are very proud of you, Tita. Okay? Yeah, I know that already. I know that. They always have been. They're proud of us, yeah? But mahalo. And of course, like I mentioned, folks, sometimes when you mention some of you, if you see me smile, it's not being sarcastic. It's only like, I remember that from 1996. I remember that from 1999. I remember that from 2001. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I got to laugh, I'm going to cry, in other words, yeah? Because I know where you're coming from, man. And I can feel that eha. Because I've been there, still there, yeah? So again, I do applaud everybody's efforts here. Anybody else's? Yes, Kalena.
Do we need a motion then to?
It says discussion and vote. It says discussion and a vote on the above items, so we can guarantee we can say that the Hawaii Island Borough Council has talked about it, has discussed it, and we voted on it. Yeah.
Voted on our nomination.
On our nomination to the working group. Yes.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to nominate and continue with our Nale Kahakalau chair to represent the Hawaii Island Burial Council on this committee.
Second the motion.
Okay, so a motion has been made by Kalena and seconded by Waiola that I would be the representative for our Hawaii Island Burial Council on this Hawaii State Legislative Office of Hawaiians working group that is being created. Any discussion, folks? Any further discussions? Anybody? Okay, then we'll vote. All those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Okay, the ayes have it. And mahalo nui, folks. Again, I feel better. I feel good about this way, because again, it's like, you know, at least we all concurred. We all agreed, at least those that were here at the meeting. And I thank you very much. And I will do my best always to represent Moku Keawe and all of our districts. Yeah. Even though Hamaku is the best, but I will do but I will do my best always to honor our ancestors, our lineal descendants, and everybody, our Rahui. Mahalo. Okay, then our last agenda item is number F, discussion on Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities. Kia, has there been any update in terms of the workshops they're planning to have? Anything?
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe Cindy can kind of help me out on this one. As far as I know, we did have a little meeting to talk about the structure and stuff. So maybe Cindy can give you guys a little bit better, a little bit more information than I can right now.
So I think that SHPTI folks, Hinana in particular, is working out the scheduling of these meetings, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, the thinking is to have it be on one of your regular meeting days in August is what they're shooting for. Okay.
policy to set out. So again, right now the goal would be August 19th. That's our scheduled next meeting.
I think so. One of the trainings would be on your, basically 13300, your rules. Mm-hmm. And part of the training would be on the composition of the burial council. And there would be a separate training, I think, that is being coordinated and is in the process of being coordinated, which will probably happen after that. And it would be with the ethics office on, and it would be on ethics.
Mahalo, Cindy. Anybody, any questions for A.G. Young? Anybody? Assistant A.G., sorry, Kalamai. No, let's predict the future, right? It's definitely becoming a female world out there, which is awesome. But I only get daughters, guys, so no offense. But anyway, even the animals are female, so no offense to anybody.
Oh, and by the way, my apologies earlier. I was having some glitching on my computer, so I was having a hard time hearing, but it's gotten better later on in the meeting. So, kalamai.
Mahalo pilikia, but more importantly, thank you for being here. We truly appreciate that. Thank you so much. No doubt about it. Okay. Anything else then, Kia, with regards to that one? I know you also sent out an email about another workshop that somebody's putting on. Sorry.
I think that was the Native Hawaiian Law Workshop with the law school, but that was last week.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it was similar, if not the exact same as the one that was last year. And so if you took the one last year, then it should have been similar or the same. I think Kalena went, I don't know if it was the same or not. But one other thing is, I don't know if it's confirmed yet or not. I need to wait and see from Hinano. But I think we might be resuming in-person meetings in the near future. So just, I just want to let everybody know to be prepared for that. And I think it needs to be in person for a little while. But I think they're gonna do, I think there was something signed that's supposed to start in January where it can be a hybrid or it can be either or. So, I can let you guys decide on that when that time comes. But when I do find out whether or not we need to resume in-person meetings, I'll let you guys know ASAP so you guys can be prepared for that, which could start as early as next month. I'm not too sure.
Mahalo, Kia. Mahalo nui loa for that. Mahalo plenty. Hey, anybody, any other information announcements, anybody? Just a reminder, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I did attend the Native Hawaiian Law training last week. And even though I took it before, I would highly recommend we always just refresh ourselves because each time the presentations are a little bit different and it's hard to understand it the first time. So I hope that just repeating it just gets sort of drilled down into your head like a pathway and a trail of understanding. So I just felt really lucky, and I thought there were some phenomenal speakers there. And these wise women from the law school. I was impressed. There was a lot of women, mostly only one guy, and sort of female pride of wow. We have all these goddesses that are out there on the front teaching us. So I just wanted to say it was a really good training, and I'm glad I did it, and I'll do it again next year because they make different presentations each time.
It was good. Cool. And the good thing about it too is the longer you sit in the council, you can start to begin to connect dots or begin to wonder why the dots are not connecting actually more. So that's important. So mahalo for that. And I agree with that. It's always good to review. It's an educator. Go ahead, La. Sorry.
They did provide all of the materials from the workshop. They provided, different links and access to that. If any of the council members who weren't able to attend wanted that. There's a lot of really awesome material, all of the primers they provide access to, and there's PDF copies of all of those and everything. So
like this one.
Yes, such as that one. They have primers with Iwi Kupuna and water law and everything else. but they also have, you know, their full presentations, the PowerPoint slides, even a supplementary reading document, lots of really great materials that they provided to supplement the workshop that you could read as a standalone and would still be really educational. So if any of the council members were interested in that, that's, we got a link to it, so we can always send it over to Kea and he can, you know.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. Thank you very much. Anybody else, anything right now? Kea, for some reason, I'm having a hard time cutting and pasting whatever, but no, that's okay. Hold on. Oh, just a minute, bro. Never mind. I got it. Never mind. I just got it. One, two, three, four. I just want to make sure I was able to keep the information that Angela shared with us first thing this morning. Yeah, all looks like good information, and we should always like to be keeping up with NACPRA as well. Very, very important. Okay, folks. So again, mahalo nui loa for attending our meeting for today. Truly appreciate it. As always, mahalo you guys planning for all you do. Pia kaha ole, very, very happy. Especially we can leave this meeting feeling good about what is taking place and what we do. Yeah. One thing I just want to mention is a personal thing. If you're trying to get a hold of me, remember I'm on summer break, so I do a good job of disappearing, aka I'm either in Waipio Valley or up in the Kuaina in Kau, which means we got no internet, no Wi. It's a blessing. But anyway, so best way is just email me, and I do usually come up once a week to check my emails, you can call my phone on my home phone, because at least I'll get a message. But of course, unfortunately, that will end on August 4th. But such is life. Yeah. Got to get on with other things I need to do. Okay. If there's nothing else then, folks, mahalo nui loa, each and every one of you for being here. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you, Angela, for joining us from Washington. Mahalo nui. Please give all our Kanaka Maoli over there our aloha, please. Yeah, please. Cindy, thank you for being here representing the AG's office. We truly appreciate that. Uncle Norman, you had a question or a comment?
No, I just want to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Okay. I'm talking too long, Uncle. I understand. That's why they call me Valao Kahakalao. No, I cool, Uncle. I cool with that. That's why they call me Valao Kahakalao. I've been hearing that for 40 plus years. It's all good, Uncle. No worry. I love you. That's why. Okay. So a motion's been made. So we can go eat. Yeah, I hear you, Uncle. So we go eat. Motion's been made by Uncle Norman. Is there a second? Okay. So a motion's been made by Uncle Norman, seconded by Wyola, that we adjourn our meeting for today. All those in favor, can you stipulate by saying aye?
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. If you don't mind, Wyola, if you don't mind, can you send us off before we head home, please? Most of us are home, sorry, before we move on to our day. Okay. Okay. Please, Wyola. Thank you.
We bow our heads with prayers and right now to Akua, and thank you for blessing us with a nice and informative meeting that we learned a lot in. Pray that the Lord bless all of the brothers who are not able to continue on with the meeting with us. Bless us on our way wherever we go, that all will be well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Aloha.
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 How are you? How are you? What are you?